term written in to Mark 1, 29 through 45. Mark chapter 1, 29 through 35. And hear the word of the Lord. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. God bless the reading of this word, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, may the word of God, upon which we meditate at this time, and which we will hear from in the message of your word, indeed, build us up and strengthen us in our faith, so that we may give glory unto God for what he has done. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus and social distancing. You never probably thought that you would hear a message on that. Social distancing. Leprosy today is known as Hansen's disease. It's a chronic infectious bacteria caused disease, and it's airborne, like, you know, what we're faced with now, COVID-19. Most people are immune to it. It likes cooler places on the body, such as the skin and eyes and upper respiratory tract and the genitalia area. There are two types. The mildest is this crusty, scaly covering on your skin. The worst may result in missing fingers and toes and hands and limbs. It's a very ugly and very treacherous disease. Today, they may be mostly encountered in large outbreaks in Myanmar, India, Indonesia, and Brazil. Because of leprosy, there's social distancing from people. The gospel writer Luke, which we didn't read from, states that this leper that we read from in Mark was full of leprosy. It was not the mild version, in other words. For he was covered probably from head to toe, front to back. In Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, which we don't have time to read right now, but which you can read at home, gave the Israelites the protocol for how to control the spread of leprosy. Just to give you some passing examples. Everywhere they went, they were required to shout, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." For example, in Leviticus 13:45. We can turn to that. Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 13. Let's use our swords here. Sharpen our swords. And the leper in whom the plague is, so it's established he has the disease, it's not just he is test positive, he has been diagnosed, he has it. He's not asymptomatic. He is a leper. His clothes shall be rent, torn, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, which oftentimes would be infected also, and also symbolic also of our sickness and how it affects this organ that is this organ that speaks the word of God. And shall cry, "Unclean, unclean." A man or woman with leprosy had to live away from everybody else. Verse 46, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, infected. He shall dwell alone without the camp," meaning outside of the camp, "shall his habitation be." In other words, he is to be self-quarantined and to be quarantined at the same time. It was forbidden him. The lawful authorities, the religious leaders in the main, would make sure that he was exiled to live outside of the community. Not even in his own house. Probably in some other makeshift condition, such as a cave. The later rabbis, prior to the coming of our Lord, went further than Moses, which we read from in Leviticus. For example, in a quote by Alfred Edersheim, who is a doctor whose writings, such as in Jesus the Messiah and the Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, writes, "They left aside what even the Old Testament marked as moral death," meaning the rabbis that had since come and had come up with what's called a Talmud, which is the scriptures plus interpretation of the scriptures, so like we have in study Bibles that have commentaries alongside of the Word of God. So the rabbis left aside what even the Old Testament marked as moral death, because this was the belief that leprosy, like many sicknesses, was God's chastisement of sin. By enjoining those so stricken to avoid all contact with all living, with the living, and even to bear the appearance of mourners as the leper passed by, his clothes rent or torn, his hair disheveled, and the lower part of his face and his upper lip covered, it was as one going to death who reads his own burial service, like the bulletin that you get at a funeral memorial service. While the mournful words, "unclean, unclean," which he uttered, proclaimed that his was both living and moral death. He goes on to say, rabbinic harshness or fear carried its provisions to the utmost sequences of an unbinding logic. This is what happens when fear grips people, especially those that are in authority. I think of these lepers as like the zombies we see on these TV shows, except they're living. They're not the dead resurrected, they're the living. The rabbis taught that the lepers were being chastised by God. They were part of the covenant community of God. They, as well as others, received the oracles of God. They were God's people. What does the Bible teach about chastisement? Such as in Deuteronomy 8:5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. So it's a relationship of like parent and child. You know, if you've been around what the writer of Hebrews says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, as with children. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? If you're not chastened by your father, you're not loved by your father. The Bible even goes further and says you're a bastard. Or at least you're treated like one. So correction and discipline on the part of God are acts of love by our Heavenly Father. They're not to punish. They're not to destroy. They're to help. Such as when parents lovingly raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where's the love? Especially when one is being ostracized and segregated from all contact, from all human beings. It's true that as the leper who would be wrapped in his mourner's garb would pass by, he used to cry, unclean, unclean. To solicit prayer on the part of those who would see him coming and hear his cry, as if it was a plea of help. A solicitation of prayer. But all too often, sadly, it was a warning to avoid the above. Like I said, their Talmud, that is, by the time of Christ, they had what's called a Talmud, required that lepers stay away 4 cubits. You know how much 4 cubits turns out to be? 6 feet. You wonder, maybe it was a professing Christian who came up with that in the CDC. that number. So he was to stay 4 cubits, 6 feet away from healthy folks, such as his family. And 150 feet when he is upwind from anybody, if there's a wind. Anyone who was near a leper, who especially touched a leper, or even touched anything that was touched by the leper, such as his cot that he would carry with him, or enter into his home where he had, say, first been found out to have leprosy. By the way, the house was considered unclean, even to the rafters and the beams of the roof. They would be deemed unclean. There was a self-quarantining period of 40 days. That was for the asymptomatic, meaning those who may test positive but who are not yet diagnosed as being such, that is, positively with the disease. Those who were potential carriers of the lepra disease. So for the leper, it wasn't 40 days. It was a lifetime of isolation, or at least potentially or indefinitely an isolation and separation for the rest of his life. The life of a leper must have been an extremely painful and lonely existence. Imagine if your father or your mother or your wife or your husband or your daughter or your son for sentence, became a leper and was isolated from you and from society. What if you were a leper? How did parents or a spouse or children feel when they had to talk to a family member 6 feet or more away, or 150 feet, if they were downwind from that leper's loved one? How does the leper get groceries without wages because he can't work? Even if he could afford it, how does he go about obtaining that merchandise from the seller, or even find the one who would sell to him? If the leper had a disagreement, be it a legal one or maybe a spiritual one with brethren, more often than not, he would just be ignored. Why? Because of fear of getting infected. And how about the many personal and moral and emotional and mental issues that come upon us and even sometimes fill our lives and overwhelm us? How does a leper cope with life's problems when he lives all alone? I think this pandemic has served a good purpose in giving us even a sliver of a taste of how a leper lived, only in their case, for the duration of their lives. This raises the question, where's God in all this? Social distancing from God. Look up Acts 17:25-28. God is near every one of us. He's near every one of us. He's close by. The Bible says in Acts 17:25-28. Neither, let me read the verse before, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's first. God's a creator. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He doesn't need anything. Someone doesn't need anything from us. He's the one that's given us everything. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. He made us all. Even, yes, the professed atheistic unbeliever, the humanistic, evolutionary know-it-all that we encounter, for example, at the universities, or at least did until we were kept from visiting them, but hopefully it'll open up again. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, everything, down to when we are born and when we live and die, to where we live, everything is ordered by the Lord. We think we are the ones that make those decisions, like I moved to San Diego to start, to continue my school and to start a new life here. No, it's the Lord. That they should seek the Lord. See, the Lord did all this so that we would seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Why can we find him? Why can we know him? Why can we, as it were, embrace him to ourselves? Because he's not far away. He's not far away. Though, as I will bring up next, in another sense, he is far away. And why is that? Because of our fallen, sinful nature, God is also far from all of us. As we noted earlier, leprosy is a picture of moral death, in the quotes, i.e. sin. Moral death is the result of moral sin. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Spiritual / social distancing pictures how God is far from the sinner. And it is not just the sinful lepers either. All sinners by nature are far from God. And that includes all who are God's people by nature, by our first birth. Through our first fallen father Adam. So even the religious community of Israel, of which the rabbis were part of the legal and religious authority, even they were far from God. Look at Isaiah 1:6-7. Isaiah 1:6-7. He is giving a description of the extent of sin in the life, the extent of our fallenness. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I imagine how the sores of a leper are. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, not cared for. And then look at 7. It's a commentary on the condition of the spiritual condition of the people. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. 8. And the daughter of Zion, that's the church, the old covenant church, is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. That's where they were at when Christ ministered to the leper. That's where we're at, spiritually speaking. As Isaiah would later on say in Isaiah 59:2. I'll read one also. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You see, whatever sin is in your heart, the Bible says, if you regard sin in your heart, the Lord will not hear. You think that you will be heard every time you pray? There are conditions. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. But even as a believer, when you do not pray with a repentant and broken heart and contrite heart, like David experienced, you will feel like God is far away from you. And perhaps he would distance himself temporarily, just so that you would feel that separation from him, and that you would cry out to God, as David finally did, when he was broken down before God about his sins. Are you broken down about your sins in this manner that is described here? Isaiah would say later on in chapter 1, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Meaning, the Lord can change your heart. The Lord can change your life. The Lord can forgive your sin. The Lord can restore your fellowship with him. That is why we need a Savior. And not just them, but you and me. Isaiah also says how that one day the Redeemer will come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down deep in the sea. Which leads us to the third and last point, social distancing and Jesus. So now, back to our main point. You will note in Mark 1, 41 and 42 the following. So turn to Mark, back to Mark 41 and 42. In this encounter of Christ with the leper that was full of leprosy, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew to whom he could go. He knew what was not just a person who he might try out, but the best doctor in the land, the only one who could save him. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, I'm reading on, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Isn't that amazing? If that were to happen today, if that were to happen with some people that we know have a life-threatening sickness, whether it be COVID-19 or something worse, such as cancer, such as we know some who are connected to us, such as by flesh and blood, and maybe even brethren have. And the Lord worked to do that very thing to that person immediately. You can only imagine the joy that would be in everyone's heart. It says that he put forth his hand and touched him. Imagine, Christ touched that leper when all of the protocol called for the very opposite. He did not pay attention to the protocol, did he? At all. He violated it. And he didn't not only do that with him, but even the woman, the mother-in-law of Peter. His touch literally lifted her up back to health and to service for them. Lord Jesus, that is a no-no. You don't do that. Exercise social distancing, or else you will be in trouble. Mark tells us that when the leper saw Jesus, he fell to his knees. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, he said. There are two Greek words for will. One is more rational and the other more emotional. And guess what? Guess which one was used? What words were used to connote his desire to be healed? His appeal to Jesus to heal him, but the emotional one. The leper appealed to Jesus' heart, and Jesus responded from his heart. And Jesus says, I will. In other words, I am willing. I want to do this. I want to do this for you. I want to heal you. Get up and be healed. And that's what happened. So just as easily as this disease came upon him once upon a time, so this disease just as quickly departed from him when Jesus healed him. He was instantly healed. He didn't have to wait in line at some hospital or clinic. He didn't have to be self-quarantined at home for 14 days or however long it took for him to experience healing. He was healed on the spot. Jesus' touch was a picture of his compassion. The Jewish rabbis avoided lepers. But interestingly enough, the priest didn't. As we know it in this passage, he was instructed to go to the priests because the priests were the ones that took care of things like that. They were like, in a way, like medical doctors on the side next to their being priests. They were like the CDC of Jesus' day. But you know what? We have an even better priest than them. He is a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the scriptures tell us. Look up Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. It reads, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Let's break that down. That seems a bit confusing here. Well, what it means in the translation is that we have a high priest who can be touched and who touches us. It works both ways. Touching works both ways. Right? Although, in this case, the leper would not dare to touch Jesus, lest Jesus be angry with him, perhaps, or lest the others around him note that he did and report him to the authorities. But it says, we have a priest who can be touched, and the word for touched with the feelings or infirmities is the word that translates sympathize. He is sympathetic. His heart just melts when he sees this man in this condition, in this awful, terrible, wretched condition. His heart literally just goes out to him. The man didn't need to say anything. He knew what the man needed. And yet, he waited for the man to speak. He finished speaking. And then took action. This is what we have in Jesus. A high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And why? Jesus is the true God and the true man. Called in the Heidelberg Catechism, the true and righteous man. He is the God-man, it says in John chapter 1. And he's all that wrapped up into one. Jesus feels our weaknesses because he went through them. He experienced them in his humanity, in his being man. Jesus was tempted like us, we are being tempted, even to this very moment. And why? Because he was a man, yes, but also because he was the Son of God. And so, he was tempted from every side. He was in the crosshairs of the evil one, the devil, his arch enemy and ours. And also the accuser of the brethren, who is the one that trips us up and tells us, the Lord has forgotten you. You sin so badly that the Lord is far away from you. Forget the Lord. Forget following Jesus. But being true God, Jesus being true God, he is impeccable. That's a very, very fancy and big word. But all it means is that he can't sin. It's impossible. His nature will not allow it because he is God. Hence, the end of that Hebrews 4:15, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So, do you not think that he cannot come to you and to me and be near us and be with us in our time of need? Our sympathetic and empathetic high priest is Jesus Christ. Because he not only feels from his heart afar what you're going through, but he has entered into your experience because his Holy Spirit dwells in you and in me.
so that he groans and travails in us. He mourns in us. He is grieved, such as by our sins and our lack of faith. How else can the burden be lifted if he doesn't come to us, such as the burden of our sin and guilt and our shame? Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he that is the Father did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted by him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That says Isaiah again. How our Lord loved those whom others rejected, even those very lepers, the outcasts of their society. If the sinners and publicans, the tax collectors, were outcast in Jesus' day, how much more the lepers? And yet he did not hesitate to reach out and touch this man who was pleading for his life at the risk of his own life. He touched the leper. I can almost picture him embracing him, not being afraid of being contaminated by him. Would the rabbis do that? Would his disciples do that, especially as they were taught by the Talmud and by those very rabbis who were watching over them? Not to social or to social distance. Jesus touched a person who probably was never touched in many years. He comforted a man who needed to know someone loved him enough to do that. He did that. And today, Jesus is still touching lepers that are afflicted with a disease far worse than leprosy and far worse than the coronavirus. And that is the sin, the leprosy, the coronavirus of sin. He knows that we are in great need. We have to call out to him. We have to have the attitude of that leper who was convinced without a doubt that Jesus could heal him, just like that. We must trust in Jesus. We must trust in his sacrifice for sin, that indeed it accomplished that for which it was intended to do, and that is to cover all of our sins. And to put them and to thrust them away from the presence of God and from us, as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In conclusion, we are stumbling upon many life-changing experiences, are we not? But one good thing we can say is we're all doing it together. At least I like to think that. I know it's not easy, especially for some who are isolated and who dare not step out of their house. You can't enter a building without a mask, such as the grocery store. You have to stay 6 feet apart or more from your neighbor. You and I live in lockdown, self-quarantine, social distance from everybody who is not immediate family or already habitating with you in the same domicile. Visiting family members and friends is less and less and less at all. For folks everywhere, this separation is so hard. It leaves people feeling more and more isolated, depressed, and lonely. Now, I'm not a typically lonely person. I mean, I don't have that, so I kind of scratch my head. How can you be so lonely? But you know what? God has given me some experiences like that, enough to let me know what others feel. And I know some are prone to this more than others. And I have to be understanding of that. There are probably all of you at one time saying, no, what? I miss my friends. I miss my family. I wish I appreciated more than more the people that I care for in this life than I did or I should. And spend time with them. That's a good lesson from all of this. That when this lifts, Lord willing, I will endeavor to spend more time with the people that count. Has that thought crossed your mind? That's mine, that's for sure. Because I'm on the run, you know, and that is not always good for relationships. Will we ever return to normalcy? Well, one thing for sure, from what we have heard so far, and that is that we are not alone. That God has not left us, that Jesus has not social distanced himself out of our lives. The cross that he bore was truly a lonely place that was filled with guilt and disgrace and isolation and shame. Even that of his people that he was bearing as our sin bearer. And separation from family, he experienced that on the cross himself. Didn't he cry at one time, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he bore the sins of all his people, the wrath of God against the sins of all his people on the cross, in his death on the cross. He not only experienced rejection by human beings that he came to save, but also his heavenly Father, who for a time, for those hours on the cross and those few days in the tomb, left him completely alone. For if the Father sent the Son to suffer and to die, to take the wrath that we deserve on the cross, think about this. Do you think he will leave you now? If he spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, shall he not freely with us, with him, give us all things? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor life, nor death, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, how grateful we are for our Savior, Jesus Christ. How grateful we are that it is him who condescended, who is God, condescending to men of low estate, that he might lift us up and set us in heavenly places with himself, even at your right hand. We are as good as in heaven, although we are still in the veil of tears that we are in presently. But that is the promise of God. And that is the hope. That is the hope that we have in our bosom that you have given to us. A hope that will not make us ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given unto us, the very presence of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now sing our third and